make a difference in this world, especially before you leave it. You want to have an impact. That is, you want to make a mark in your family's life and in other people around you. I want to share with you what God put on my heart today to share with you, and I pray that it'll encourage you as well as challenge you. How to change this world overnight. How to change this world overnight. I'm going to take you, with the grace of God, to an account in the Bible about some men that were at work. And all of a sudden, it was cold. It was perhaps raining. They were trying to stay warm. And then all of a sudden, an angel shows up. Angel, but I imagine you would have been like they, and I would have been like they. They were afraid, scared, had a panic attack. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy. For today in the city of David is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this is going to be a sign for you. You'll find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And then all of a sudden, these men who were at work, called shepherds, there were a multitude of angels. Can you imagine the sky lighting up brighter than an atomic bomb? And they were praising God, these angels, this angelic host, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men." And all of a sudden, they disappeared. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go and find out about this news, this good news." And so they make their way over to the manger scene. And they see exactly what the angel told them would be there. And then they left that scene telling everybody they could tell about what they had seen and heard. And then guess what they did? They went back to their old job. That's right. They went back to their old job praising the Lord. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 2. How to change your world overnight. These men absolutely changed their world overnight. And I'm convinced today there's some of us that have some issues like we're going through. Christina shared a testimony a minute ago. And we've got some real needs in our family. I don't know about you, but I certainly pray, God, change this world. Change America. Change my family. Change my neighborhood. Change my school. Change my coworkers. Change my community. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. But you know what the problem is? The problem is sometimes we don't know what the Lord wants to do. Sometimes we don't know how to cooperate with God. We don't understand how to get in the will of God instead of being in the way of God. But the Lord wants us to learn how to submit and yield and surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. But sometimes we don't get it. Kind of reminds me of the story of the lady that was going to give some Christmas cards. And she waited to the last minute. How many of you have y'all sent your Christmas cards? She waited to the last minute. She had 49 Christmas cards she had to go and send to different individuals. She ran to the store. She didn't even look at the cards. She just saw a pack that had 50 in them. She grabbed it and said, "I'll take this." She ran home. She was in a hurry. It was the hustle and bustle of Christmas time, trying to get everything done. She ran home. She opened up the 50 cards, signed them, didn't even read them, signed them. She knew they were Christmas cards, sent them out on the mail. And the next thing you know, finally Christmas comes around and she has a break and she just takes a little time and sits down and says, "You know what, I think I'll read one of them cards." She opened it up and the card said this on Christmas Day, "Just a little note to let you know a gift is on the way." Just a little note to let you know a gift is on the way. That is, she didn't even realize she had to send a gift. She didn't know what it said. Sometimes we're not aware of what God is up to in our life. I believe today that the Lord wants you and me to take these four steps to change your world overnight. It can happen. And by the way, you know Jesus was born at night. And what the Jews believe, he's probably coming back at night. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord came back tonight? He could come back tonight. I don't know when he's coming, but I know it's very soon. And I know we got to be ready. And so look in the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 8 following. There are four steps the Lord put in my heart that you and I can take today to change our world overnight. Number one, let me just go ahead and give them to you, then we'll read the text. Number one, find and follow this God's glory. Find and follow God's glory. We'll see that in a moment. Find and follow God's glory, number one. Number two, forget your insecurities. Forget your insecurity. We'll see that in a moment too, in verse 10. And then number three, not only find and follow God's glory, and not only forget your own insecurity, but number three, fight for unity. Fight for unity. We'll see that in a moment, in verse 15 of the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And then number four, not only fight for unity, but be faithful to tell the old, old story. We'll see that in a moment. And verse 17, the shepherds did exactly that. And then number five, the fifth way, or did I say five? Yes, one, two, three. I may have told you four steps. Anyway, follow with me. First is to find and follow God's glory. Number two is to not only find and follow God's glory, but if you'll notice, forget your insecurity. We'll see that in a moment. Number three is to fight for unity. Number four is to be faithful to tell the old story. And number five, I told you four steps, let's add another one. Number five, the fifth step is this. Keep your eyes, that is, beloved. Keep, are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. Keep following, because Bible prophecy is going to be fulfilled. In Luke chapter 2, let's look at verse number 8. Now, the beginning verses of Luke 2, everybody's familiar with them. Mary and Joseph happened to end up in their hometown. That is Joseph, as this decree was set out by Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. Look at verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. The word shepherds, by the way, is the word poimen. You know the word poimen is the same word for pastor in the New Testament, poimen. The same country shepherds were abiding in the field, keeping watch. Phulaka is the word watch, which means to be aware, to guard. And by the way, the shepherds, we're told, probably had about 3-hour shifts. Some say it could have been a little different. But get the picture. The shepherds are out working in the field. They were really, literally living in the field. Keep reading, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You see the word glory? The word glory is the word doxa. Say it with me. Doxa. Say it again. Is my microphone on, or am I not talking loud enough, or what? Are y'all? Doxa. Say it with me. Doxa, D-O-X-A, is the word for glory. You've just learned a new Greek word. Doxa is the word. Say it with me. Doxa. The glory of God shone around about them. Now keep reading. Verse number 10. And the angel of the Lord said, fear not. By the way, the word fear not there is the word phobia. We have a lot of phobias today. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. Yes, for all people. That includes me. That includes you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, a Deliverer, one that would forgive us of our sins. Born today in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christos the Kurios, Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Promised One. Well, praise his holy name, because look, in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude, that means many, large number, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, the word for praising there is the word extol. Singing. I don't really know what they were doing, but I know this, there's going to be praise in heaven. They got a little heaven here on earth. Look at this, verse 14. They were praising God saying, glory, the same word for glory in verse 14 is the same word for glory. Back up in verse number 9. They were saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know what I know, there's not going to be real peace until the Prince of Peace comes on this planet called earth. But God was giving them a little message of a foretaste of the glory that was to come. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, I want you to mark verse 17, all right? Underline it. And when they had seen it, they made known. The word for known is a word to mean to declare. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all, look what the response was. I'm telling you, there's a hungry world out there. I'm telling you, there's a lost world out there. I'm telling you, there's a people out there that has no peace, has no joy, has no hope, has no love, has no future, has no assurance, has no eternity, has no Savior. And they're waiting for you to tell them. And they're waiting for me to tell them. Look what happened here in verse number 19. Verse 18 again. And all they that heard, verse 18, wondered. They were amazed. They wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That is, they went back to their jobs. Hang with me. There's some of you today that are saying, man, if I could just get another job. I don't like this job. I hate my job. I wish I'd get another job. But wait a minute. I'm telling you, God can change your world today and give you a purpose and give you some type of fulfillment even where you're serving Him, whatever that might be and wherever that might be. Look at verse 19. Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. But the shepherds, verse 20 again, returned glorifying. That is, they returned to their job. They returned to the fields. They returned where they were. Brother, that's a the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things. They weren't moaning and groaning, I got to go back to work. No. They were praising God and glorifying God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I'm telling you, if some of you get on fire today, if the fire of God should catch on you today, you could go tomorrow on your job. Go out in the highways. Go out in the hedges. Go out in the community. Go out to your workplace and say, praise God. My Redeemer lives. I know He lives. I've been in His presence. I've been worshiping all day Sunday. And I'm not going to let the devil rob me of joy on Monday, because weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, if some of God's people would just let the Lord fill you up and not be happy on Sunday and mad and sad and bad on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. This old world needs to see Jesus in you and me as we go out in the marketplace with the power of a living God, because my God still lives, praise God, not just on Sunday. He still lives on Monday. He's still on His throne on Tuesday. He's still coming back on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Oh, that God's people in America would catch on fire for God and turn this nation back to God. That's what needs to happen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You now for the word of God. I thank You, Lord, that I'm nothing but Your everything. I bless You, Jesus. It's all about You. We don't worship some little baby in a manger, God, but we worship You, the living God, the Mighty God, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who is sovereign and is immutable on your throne. Your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom, and the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. You are going to reign forever and forever. Lord, I pray, Father, and thank you now for meeting with us. Thank you, Father, for assembling us together. Thank you, God, for allowing me to get up out of my bed this morning. I bless you, Lord, for the help you give us. I bless you, God, for the right mind you give us. I bless you, God, for your sending a Savior and saving my soul and making me whole. And God giving me something I couldn't get anywhere else. Giving me your life. Giving me, dear Lord, your very life. And I pray now that you'll illuminate. So fortify us with faith. God, you know where we're at. Some today are discouraged and down and defeated because of various reasons. But Lord, you can change our world overnight. God, please make us more usable. Make us more like yourself. Lord, don't leave us the way we are. Change us, Father. Sanctify us, Lord. Set us apart. Fill us afresh and anew. Cleanse us with the washing of water by the Word. Our God, release Holy Ghost power. Lord, fan the flames of faith. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, demons and devils will be bound from us. And sinners will get to Jesus. And those saints, God, that will be encouraged, you'll stir the slumbering chords again. You'll blow on us the breath of heaven. You'll turn us heavenward. And God, you'll just keep us, Lord, full of faith, hope, and love. Thank you for what you're going to do, what you have done. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, Father, amen and amen and amen. Five steps will change your life. These five steps are found right in the passage of Scripture. Number one, find and follow the glory, that is, the glory of God. Find and follow the glory of the Lord. Two parts. Number one, first of all, consider the shepherd's story. And then secondly, consider what they saw, God's glory. Number one, consider the shepherd's story. Now, these were men out in their fields working, hard-working men. We're talking about men that worked 24/7. That is, they worked all the time. They didn't have time, so we're told by Bible scholars. There's a different opinion about exactly what their schedules were. But they didn't have time to do and to enjoy the festivities and the rituals that were so often taking place in the Jerusalem area. And therefore, some were even considered unclean. Yet there was an important task. Why in the world would God Almighty decide to choose some poor, lowly, humble shepherds to go see the birth of His Son, the Lord Jesus, and then be the first evangelist missionaries to go and tell? Why would God do that? Well, He did. And these shepherds, it was probably during the cold winter months in which they were out in the fields, regardless of what you read or what you hear. I personally believe it was. Anyway, they were trying to perhaps stay warm and stay encouraged. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. I mean, don't you imagine it was the same old whole humdrum, go to work. Now let's do a little interview with the shepherds for a moment. What do you think about your job? Now, this is before all this activity took place in Luke chapter 2. What do you think about your job? Let me just ask you a question. What do you think about your job? Are you one of those that whine and complain all week long about what you got to do? Or where I don't like this, and I hate this, and I don't like this. And I know that's our tendency to do that. Let's interview the shepherds just for a moment, all right? First shepherd, sir, how do you like your job? What do you think about the job you do, shepherding? I hate it. I hate it. Stinking sheep. They stink and they make me stink. I smell like a sheep. I hate being out here. It's cold. It's raining. We got to be out here all the time. And I don't like what I'm doing. I just despise it. I hate to go to work. I just can't stand it. Does that describe you? Second interview. All right, what about you, man? What do you think about this job of shepherding? What do you think about this job of shepherding? Tell us what you think. Well, it's just a job. I just go to work, and I'm just here for the duration. I mean, you know, it does pay the bills, and it is just a job, you know. And after all, I'm just here, and after my time, I'm out of here. My 8 hours, I'm out of here. My 3 hours, y'all listen now. My 3 hours, I'm out of here. I'm telling you, this is what's hurting the testimony of the Church of the Living God, is our testimony out in the marketplace. They see us on Sunday. They see our cars leaving the house to go to church. But then they hear us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And they say, man, I don't see any victory in y'all's life. I don't see any change in your life. You're talking more negative than even some of the lost people I'm hearing. I'm convinced that when they see Jesus in you and me, the lost world, then they're going to say they got something different than I've got. I'm not like them. Praise God, Jesus has made a difference in my life. And then here's another, oh boy, what do you think about the being out here, being a shepherd at night? What do you think about this? How do you like this job? You know what he said? I can hear him what it says. He says, man, I tell you what, I'm glad to have a job, praise God. And man, it's hard to find a job nowadays. And guess what? I've been reading my Bible. Tell me about it. You've been reading your Bible. Tell me about it. What do you think about this job you got shepherding? Well, let me tell you what I've been reading in the Bible. I've been reading over there, said the shepherd, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. I read over there where Isaiah the prophet, you remember Isaiah the prophet? Yeah, I remember him. What did he say? He said, for he shall grow up before him as a root in a dry ground, and there's no comeliness in him, and there's no beauty about him, and he is despised, rejected of men, and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth. I read over there in Isaiah 53, that's talking about the Messiah. He's coming. You know what? I don't know when he's coming, but he might be here tonight. What do you think? And then that man, that shepherd prophet, said something like this. You know, I read in Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall bring forth a child and call his name Emmanuel. And then the shepherd would say, you know, I read over there in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the government of this world shall be upon his shoulders. I can hear that old shepherd say, I've read my Bible. I don't know when this Messiah's coming, but it could be tonight. It could be tonight. I'm waiting for him. I'm watching for him. I'm expecting him to come. I can hear him say, I've read over there in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hear that shepherd say this. You know what? Me taking care of these sheep are about like David when he wrote that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm like a sheep. You know these old sheep, by the way, these sheep that I'm taking care of, they're dumb animals. Man, they'll wander off. There's some wild animals out in the woods, and they'll kill them. They'll jump on them and get their jugular vein. They'll just rip them apart, and then they'll eat their carcasses. I'm a shepherd. I got to take care of them sheep. And, you know, I've got a shepherd too. And my Lord is my shepherd, and he tells me, beneath me are green pastures, and beside me are still waters, and around me is surely goodness and mercy, and before me is a table, and following me is surely goodness, yeah. And then beyond me is the house of the Lord forever. You see, that one shepherd had a heart change. He was not defeated. He had to work. He had to labor. He had a job. He had to provide. He knew that his testimony was very important. He said, I see in Psalm 23, perfect satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A little boy put it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows all my wants. T- Tell me, is he your shepherd? Tell me, do you have perfect satisfaction in him? Are you always looking for this and looking for that? If I could just get another house, if I could just get another car, if I could just get another wife, if I could just get another husband, if I could just get another job, if I could just get this, if I could just get this. Wait, have you found Jesus? Do you know who he is? Perfect satisfaction. Then perfect direction. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside still waters. Perfect direction, perfect satisfaction, perfect restoration. He restores my soul. I'm telling our God's able to restore us like he did Christina. Christina shared that a moment ago. And then perfect protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Perfect protection, perfect restoration, perfect direction, perfect satisfaction, and then perfect preparation. He set before me a table, and then perfect celebration. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The point is this, the story of the shepherds. What's your story? What's your testimony? How can you change your world overnight? Now then, we've seen this testimony of the shepherds. Now, for a moment, their story. Now consider God's glory. There they are out in the field. An angel shows up. Has anybody here seen an angel? Have you ever seen an angel? Have you ever seen an angel? Tell you what, it will get your attention. I would to God an angel show up right now. Boy, I tell you what, we wouldn't be the same. We believe in angels, but we worship God. Angels are real. In fact, over there in Psalm 34, the psalmist said, the angel of the Lord encampeth around and about them that fear him. Psalm 34, 7. And he shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Angels are ministering spirits according to Hebrews chapter 13. Now, an angel shows up and they see the glory of God. They, that is, the shepherds, see the glory of God. Have you ever seen God's glory? Have you ever seen God's glory? I want you to know, if you've ever seen God's glory, you will never be the same. No, never. That's what changes you, to see the glory of God, to be in the presence of God. We come to church to get in the presence. We know he's in us. He sealed us on the day of redemption. But there's that manifested outpouring of his presence oftentimes. And it's the presence of God. In Psalm 16:11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love what Moses said, speaking of the presence of God. He said, God, if I could just see your glory, I just want to see your glory. Have you ever asked God to let you see his glory? God said, I'll let you see my glory, Moses, but you got to hide first. I'm going to put you behind that rock. I'm going to put you behind that rock so no man can see me and live. That rock is Jesus, praise God, when we're hid in the cleft of the rock. And God passed by Moses, and God allowed Moses to see his backside. The glory of God. Ezekiel said this. He said, man, the glory's departed off the temple. The glory's departed off Jerusalem. Why? Because of the people's sin. Just like we're concerned about America, the glory departing. But Ezekiel said the glory will return. In Ezekiel chapter 43, bring back your glory. How many would say today with me, Lord, we want to see your glory. Lord, we want you to bring back your glory on this nation again. Can I get somebody to say amen? God, bring back your glory. The glory of God. Moses shone like a light bulb when he was in the presence of God. I'm telling you what, when you spend and I spend time with the Lord, when you come out of God's presence, it will make a difference in your life. People can tell you've been with Jesus. John and Peter, remember in the early church, they said, man, there's something different about them. They're not learned men, but we can tell they've been with Jesus. It makes a difference in our life. Moses had to put a veil on his face because he shone like a light bulb. That's what Paul meant when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory. How can we change overnight? Number one, by finding and following his glory. That's what will change you. That's what you need today. That's what I need today. That's in verse number 8 and verse 9. But then verse 10, we find the second step in changing your world. Verse 10 says this. It says, when the shepherds saw this angel, they were happy. They were mystical. They were questionable. What were they? They were afraid. They were sore afraid. What does that mean? And the angel said, somebody help me. The angel said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Again, the word fear is the word phobia. We have a lot of phobias today, don't we? What I love about the shepherds, you know what? They didn't have panic attack. They didn't have to go take some meds. Can I get an amen? They didn't have to go take all these medications. They were afraid, but they were able to, God was able to handle them. I'm not saying that critically. I'm just saying the point is, sometimes in this modern day, it's necessary and needful. Other times, it's not. All right? I'll leave it at that. But these angels were afraid, fearful. Let me ask you a personal question. What are you afraid of? What's your phobia? Is it spiders? How many are afraid of spiders? All right, one. How many are afraid of snakes? Yeah, how many are afraid of thunderstorms and tornadoes? One hand, two hands. How many are afraid of ladders? How many are afraid of going over bridges? There's a lot of phobias. How many are afraid of dying? Fear not. Fear not. Well, what are we afraid of today? What is the phobias we have today? What are the most common phobias we have? I'll tell you what they are. Number one is our family. If you're honest, you'll say, yep, I worry about my family probably more than I do anything else. Yep, I worry about my family more than anything else. I find myself praying for my family. Look, you don't have to worry about your family today. You can just pray about it, man. The cure for care is prayer. What are the causes of fear? And what are the cures of fear? Family. You know what other people worry about? Finances. Worry about health. Health issues. I talked with evangelist called me last night. I called him back. He said, Brother Pastor, he said, I've never seen a time when so many people are dying and so many people are with Obamacare and America. So many people are just sick, literally sick. Health issues. I tell you what, it makes you appreciate when you're feeling well, when you're not feeling well. I woke up one morning this week, was up all night long on Thursday night, Friday, throwing up, and I know you want to hear about all that, but anyway, like beaten with a billy club, hurting all over, aching. I don't know if it was a flu or what, but for a day or so, man, I couldn't hardly do anything. I mean, it was a struggle just to do anything. And I want you to know, when you're down, God gets you back up, it'll make you glad. Amen and amen and amen. I'm grateful to God to be here today. I didn't know. I said, Lord, I don't know if I can make it or not. But God is so good. Fear of health, fear of family, fear of finances, fear of the future, phobias. I heard about two, and we're talking about forgetting your insecurities, point number two. And I heard about two boys that were wanting some things for Christmas. Two little boys, and they were going to grandma's house and grandpa's house. And so they started talking with each other, said, you know what I want? I want a bicycle. The other boy said, I want a baseball glove. He said, I tell you what we'll do. We'll get together, we'll start praying about that thing, and we'll just pray and ask God to bring us that. And so those two boys got in the room with grandma and grandpa out in the living room, and one boy started praying and said, Dear God. He said, Dear God, I really need a bicycle. He was praying as loud as he could. He said, Dear God, my brother needs a baseball bat. And the brother punched him and said, What are you hollering for? What are you loud? God's not deaf. He said, I know, but grandma is. Insecurities. Insecurities. I get messages quite often. One of this week, by the way, that said this, I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm discouraged. Things aren't going good. Are you on a roller coaster? Hey, listen to me. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're low to the ground. Right? But I want you to know something, brother and sister. You might be down, but you don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay down. See, God is God, and God will get you up when you get down, if you'll let Him. So don't stay down. Don't stay down. No, no, no. Number two, forget your insecurity. Number one, find and follow His glory. Number three, fight unity. Look at this. The angel came and he shows up and the glory of God shows up. And then the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Well, tell us about it. What is this great joy? I'll tell you what it is. Today in the city of David is born a Savior. A Savior, a deliverer. How many need a deliverer? How many need somebody to save them? How many need somebody to keep delivering them? How many need somebody? We need a Savior, not an educator. No, no, not an entertainer. We need a Savior. We need forgiveness. And the angel further said, today in the city of David is born a Savior. Christ the Lord. Christ, Christos, the Lord, Kyrios, the Messiah, the promised one. Ever since man fell in the garden, he shall bruise him on his heel, but he'll bruise him on his head. A Savior, a promised one. Oh, glory be to God. This will be a sign. I think that's interesting. You know what? You know what the angel said? He said, I'm going to show you a sign. I'm going to give you a sign where you'll know you go to the right manger. Now, how many babies do you think were born during that time? And how many mangers do you think were born at that time? I don't really know. But I know this. The angel said, this is going to be a sign for you. What? Shepherds, and I know you've been out here and you're working all the time, but I'm going to show you a sign. What is it? You'll find that baby wrapped in a swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And then all of a sudden, not only was that angel present, angels all over the place. And by that time, the shepherds weren't afraid anymore. Singing, and those angels were saying, glory to God. Tell you what, that's what's heaven going to be like. We might as well get a little heaven here on earth. I think some folks are going to have a heart attack when they get to heaven. I really do. I really do. If you don't learn how to shout and praise the Lord now, you're going to have a heart attack when you get to heaven. You might as well learn how to do it now. Amen. Y'all think Brother Pastor's crazy, but I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, I told you it was going to be like this. I told you it's going to be like this. Let's just join in the praise. Amen. There's not going to be room for any. You'll have to stand outside the gate, amen, if you don't learn how to bless the Lord. That's not in the Bible. That's just something else. All right. And so, fight unity. Look what these shepherds did. After the angels, gone. You know what they did? They didn't say, well, hey, let me tell you what. Let's get our heads together. And well, you think this. They got their head together all right, but look what they did. Fight unity. Fight unity. Look at this in the text. I think it's in verse number 15, I believe it is. Yeah, look at verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. Man, they got together. Hey, one said, you go here and I'll go here. Or they didn't just jump up and start running. No, they got together. The shepherds said to one another, let us go now. Come on, let's get together. Unity, let's get together and go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. God birthed this message in my heart this week as I was praying over this text. I'd never seen it like this, but I said, Lord, I see unity right there. I see unity. I see togetherness. I see power right there, Lord. And the Lord reminded me over there in Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell, to live, to abide, to work, to be together in unity. It's like the ointment that runs down the head, even the beard, Aaron's beard, down to the skirts of his garment. I want you to know something. God honors unity. One shall chase 1,000, two chase 10,000. It was the day of Pentecost. They were in one accord, praying. It wasn't one on an island somewhere. It wasn't a long range of mindset. No, they were praying together. And the power of God on the day of Pentecost was poured out. Why? Because they were together. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. When they prayed together, the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Daddy was trying to prove to his son the power of unity. First, notice unity is a sign of maturity, and unity is a sign of victory. Number one, unity is a sign of maturity. A daddy showed his son a long stick. He said, "Son, I want you to take this stick, and I want you to break that stick in two." Imagine right here is a long stick. He said, "I want you to break that stick in two." The boy put his knee out. Snap. "No problem, Dad." He said, "Now I want you to double them up and snap those." Snap, finally. A little harder. The dad tripled him up. Said, "Now I want you to do that. Snap them. Break them." The boy couldn't do it. Daddy said, "See, son, it's power in unity. It's power in unity." So often we will be like the Lone Ranger, out on an island by ourselves, doing our own thing. Think we can make it alone. We need each other. I said we need each other. I said we need each other. You may not realize it. You may not think we do. But praise God, the Word of God says when one falls, thank God somebody can lift them up. And if a man be overtaken in a fault, you with your spirit to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. Bear one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. Confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. James chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Unity, unity. As we're together and praying, believing God for breakthroughs. It's a sign of maturity. It's also a sign of victory. Jesus said, if two of you, listen to what the words of the Lord Jesus said. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. If two of you, not 200. How many need somebody to pray for them today? How many need somebody to pray for them today? How many are going to ask somebody to pray for them today? How many are going to be a lone ranger on your little island by yourself and leave by yourself like a lone ranger? You heard about the Lone Ranger and Tonto. They were out there in Grand Canyon. And all of a sudden, Apache Indians showed up all around them. War, blood, knives, bows, guns. Lone Ranger looked at Tonto and said, "Tonto, what are we going to do?" And Tonto said, "Who is we, Kemosabe? What do you mean we?" Hello. Unity, the power of unity. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask, it shall be done for them. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. Don't leave today. Don't leave today with that heavy burden. Don't leave today depressed. Don't leave today discouraged. Don't leave today feeling guilty. Don't leave today without hope. Find somebody to pray with you. There's a fourth step, and we'll find it really quickly. It's found in verse 17. Be faithful to tell the old, old story. Not only fight for unity, but tell the story. I had noticed this until this week. These four steps that change the shepherds overnight, they will change you and me overnight in just a moment. Find His glory. Forget your insecurity. Fight unity. Tell the story. Look at verse 17. Read it with me. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. How many believe life's a vapor? How many believe that we're not promised of tomorrow? How many believe that this could be your last day, my last day on planet Earth? I thought I was dying this week. Hello. I said, "Lord, I'm ready to go if you're ready to take me." I'm serious. I was up last night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, praying, "God, I need you to pull me through." Can I tell y'all a true story? This happened to me this week. Thursday, I went to the Muse, preached the Word of God. We have church every Thursday. It's a wonderful time. I enjoy it. Retired, assisted living, men in wheelchairs. And a man didn't come to the service, but I saw him after the service. I normally don't stay. I usually just slip on out there about 12 o'clock, 12:15 on Thursday. But I stayed and talked with this man. I don't know why, but I just felt impressed to talk with this one man. His name? Townley. Townley. Strange name, isn't it? He's from North Carolina. He builds these model airplanes. And he showed me his model airplanes. He showed me the remote control. He said, man, these things fly up to a mile high, a mile long. He said, you really have to watch these planes because they'll just get away from you. They'll just keep going, going, going out of range for your remote and they'll be gone. He enjoys doing stuff like that. I was standing in Mr. Townsley's room on Thursday afternoon and the Lord moved on my heart. I said, Mr. Townsley, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? He's 65 years old. I don't know why. Just the Lord moved my heart to ask him. He said, yes, I'm a Christian. He told me when he was saved. He told me he'd been baptized. He told me his wife had passed away. I said, well, hallelujah. I'm going to pray with him, pray for you. I stayed a few more minutes, talked with him, and I left. I got a message Friday morning. Mr. Townley died. Just a few hours after I talked with him. What do you think about that? It's kind of strange, isn't it? A lot of strange things have been happening lately. Tell the story. You don't know how much longer somebody's got. I don't know. We're not sure. Last but not least, number 5, and we'll be done. Not only tell the story, but be faithful to tell the story. Remember, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy will take place. Look at the last verse of this text, and that's verse 20. How to change your world overnight. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard. And what? Heard and what? Heard and seen, as it was told them. God was revealing to them what the Old Testament prophets predicted hundreds of years would happen. They were a part of that momentous occasion. Can I tell y'all something? Right now, December the 15th, 2013, it's an historic occasion. Right now, you sitting in church at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, it'll never happen again. There's only one moment like this moment. Once it's gone, it's gone. You believe that? Once it's gone, it's gone. Now, we look back on stuff after it's over and say, you know what? I didn't realize what was going on. But now I realize this is an historic moment. Prophecy will be fulfilled. I close with a story. Some missionaries, Christian missionaries, went to Russia. And boy, I tell you, Russia's a good place to go. Not only has been debate over adopting babies, but now this Cold War and the nuclear building up and the defense system that's being strategically placed over in Europe is stirring up a nest in the Russians' mind, and we hadn't heard the end of it. But anyway, that's another subject. The Christian missionaries went to Russia, and they went to an orphanage where little boys and girls were staying at an orphanage. And the thing the missionaries were going to do was to tell the Christmas story, tell about Jesus being born. And so they told just what I told you today about the birth of our Lord. Then they looked at the orphanage, the orphans in the orphanage, and they said to the orphans, said, now I want you to write down what I just told you. Draw a picture of what I just told you. And so they began to get and start drawing pictures on their paper. Everybody was doing fine. One of the Christian missionaries walked by, one little boy, 6 years old. Miss was his name, M-I-S-H. He looked at the paper. He said, wait a minute. All these other children seem to have gotten it, but Mish, I see not one baby in the manger. I see two babies in the manger. Mish, did you misunderstand the Christmas story? Mish said, no. He said, he began to tell what the missionaries told. He had a translator. And he got everything right. And to the point he came to the baby Jesus, and he added his viewpoint. He said, sir, when Mary put Jesus in that little baby manger stall, he said, Jesus looked at me and said, "Do you have a place to stay?" And Miss said, "No, I don't have a daddy. I don't have a mama. I don't have a papa. I don't have a grandma. I don't have a place to stay, Jesus." And Miss said, Jesus said, "Will you come? You can come and stay with me." And he said, so I crawled into the manger with Jesus. And Jesus said, "You can live with me forever, Mishnah." And as he was telling that story, he dropped his head, began to cry, because nobody ever cared for Mish like Jesus. Nobody ever cared for me or you like Jesus. I wonder today, as we say, "Lord, I need a change in my life. I need a change. I need a change of attitude. I need a change of direction. I need a change to change my world. I don't want to leave it the same way that I came into it." Would you stand to your feet today?